So until then, will we be found faithful when He comes? Will we be ready when He comes? If we're not faithful, we're not going to be ready. There's a lot to those truths. We need to apply them to our own hearts very personally. Let's change the pace a little bit tonight. I had a real burden in my heart this morning. I'm glad I did. Because we realize that there are needs in our midst. We realize that only God can meet those needs. We realize also that we must trust the Lord to help us with those needs, whatever those needs may be. And God is faithful. Let's look at Psalm 27. Probably no Old Testament character ran the gamut and variety of experiences as David. Think about David tonight for a few moments. How can we think of David without being reminded of the life he spent as a shepherd, watching over his father's flock of sheep and lambs, kind of like a pastor watching over precious lambs of God? There was more to that responsibility than just rising up early in the morning and maybe taking the sheep out to a green pasture someplace. There was times that it was necessary for David to take them out and maybe travel many miles to a different location. When he did that, he had to spend not the day, but the night there with those little lambs. And more than once, the sheep were attacked by bears and lions, probably thieves. So David had quite a responsibility, seeing that he fulfilled his responsibilities adequately and in a way that would honor his dad, honor his father, his family. We also are reminded that David experienced a lot of other trials. He was also later on the king of Israel. He had to put up with warring kings. There was that time when David greatly failed God. One that we don't like to think about. One that we must admit is a very sad time, sad occasion in David's life. He greatly disappointed God and greatly disappointed his family and his country. That was the time he got into sin. And how could we not forget that occasion when Absalom, his son, living such a rebellious, godless life, even trying to take the kingdom from David? How David longed for him, longed for his fellowship, longed for a relationship with that son. Finally, that day came when Absalom was killed by one of David's own military leaders. And he received the word of his son's death. Remember that prayer? Remember him crying out, "Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son. Would to God Would to God I had died in your place. No wonder David wrote many of these Psalms, because he went through a lot. He was successful in many, many ways, but there are ways he also failed God. David experienced practically every emotion and anxiety known to man. Put yourself in his shoes as a young man with the sheep, guarding them, watching over them. How could we forget Goliath? Imagine what was going on in his heart when he stepped out by faith to defeat that great giant. On and on we could go. Many of these he experienced or he expressed in the beautiful Psalms he wrote. If you want to be encouraged, turn to the book of Psalms and start reading. And it won't be long before God will begin to speak to your heart. And it'll not be long before you'll realize, no matter how difficult you may think you have it, not really all that bad. So be encouraged. Psalm 27 is different from most of David's other Psalms in that it reflects both confidence and anxiety. Two major sections constitute the Psalm, with the last two verses serving as a conclusion. Let's read this little Psalm tonight. I'm going to have to move out of this thing. I don't know which way to go. Someone told me not to let Warren speak tonight. If he did, he would stay here because it was cool. And we'd be in for a long service. I don't know what they meant by that, Warren. But it was your friend that said that. Yes. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and this to me, I think, marks David, separates David from many of the other kings of Israel. This marks him as a real man of God. It's a man that really loved the Lord, did not want to fail the Lord. And a man that had deep regret when he did. Deep enough that he got his heart right. One thing, verse 4 reads, have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You cannot help but read these six verses and understand, if you really pay attention and if you really ask the Lord to speak to your heart, that it's relaying confidence. We can have confidence because of our relationship with God in the midst of trouble. Do we have that confidence tonight? I know there's times we face certain times in our lives that we find that we are trembling. We find that we are weak-kneed. We find, and we often find it quickly, that in our own strength we don't have the heart to go on. We have to stop and pause, pray, refresh ourselves with God and with that precious relationship that we should be enjoying with Him. Experience His enabling Spirit reviving us if necessary, giving us that newness of life that we have to stop and call upon so often, so that we can keep on keeping on. We don't give up. We can't give up because we have confidence in the midst of the danger. The simple declaration in verse 1 is the most profound truth in the Bible. Light here means more than intellectual insight. It is spiritual perception. Look at it. The Lord is my light. The Lord is the one that gives me spiritual perception. He's the one that's able to help me to understand. When all else fails, I can come to Him and He will give me that quickening and that encouragement in my heart. He will give me that direction in my life. He can help me to perceive what God is trying to accomplish. That spiritual perception. There's times I look and there's times I realize we face things and dear families face things. You know, if we're not careful, we will say, "Why me, Lord?" And that's when I have to draw aside in that quiet place, that place where God can speak to me and pour my heart out to Him. Pray for His understanding, for His discernment. So light means more than intellectual insight. It is spiritual perception so that I can recognize what God's trying to work out in me and what God's trying also to accomplish in the lives and the hearts of others. Salvation is also mentioned here in this verse. Salvation means deliverance. And this should bless your heart. Salvation, we often think about, oh, I am delivered and I'm going to heaven. But here salvation means deliverance from every form of evil. It's not all. It continues. A daily deliverance from satanic harassment. Think about that. Not only has God saved us, but God is in the delivering business. And it's something that I can experience. Not that I have to get saved over and over again. No, that's not necessary. When God saves you, He saves you. But every day I can know, I can experience it in my heart. God's deliverance. God sparing me. God preventing me from getting into spiritual trouble, if you want to think about it that way. Every day I should be aware of God's hand helping me and guiding me and directing me. Helping me to have His thoughts and to know His thoughts. Here again, going back to that spiritual perception. A daily deliverance. Even from satanic harassment. We are no match to that foe. I cannot overcome him. But I have a God that has already overcome him. He's already defeated. He doesn't realize it yet. That means anything and everything that I face, whether it be something that's going on in my own heart or my own life, or something going on in my family, I can bring it to God. And it doesn't matter whether it's spiritual or physical or mental. I can bring it to God and I can say, "Lord, here I need Your help. Lord, I cast myself upon You. You've saved me. Now, Lord, I need that deliverance today. I need that help. I need that spiritual energy that I can experience because of Your presence in me. And oh God, I need it daily. Lord, I want that deliverance from the satanic harassment, the accusations. You know, there's times that Satan will come to us and try to defeat us. Try even to bring back the old past. Bring us back to the place that we realize that we once struggled, and try to bring us back to that point in our life to discourage us. Don't have to go there. Have to go to the Lord. But you don't have to go back into the past and struggle. There's victory. Light also includes joy, life, and hope. When you think about the light of the Lord, we think about the spiritual perception and God giving us intellectual insight. But there's more to it. God helps me to see there's real joy, and that my life now is worth living, even in spite of the setbacks, even in spite of the difficulties and the disappointments that we face. Look, we're going to face setbacks and disappointments anyway. But God's trying to bring me to the place to demonstrate to me His faithfulness, that I might have more confidence in the midst of the danger. So light also includes joy, life, and hope. When a person truly takes refuge in God, what can he or she fear? Think about that tonight for a few moments and make it personal. There's not a one of us, mother or dad, young man, young lady, there's not a one of us that's not going through something in our life. Something that we would rather not be facing or involved in. Is God able to help me through that? Is God able to help you through that? Yes. No matter who you are. No matter what it is. We do not have to give into fear. God, when we take refuge in Him, can give us not just the means to get out of the difficulty, to find our way out, but also to experience victory with the way out. In verses 2 and 3, let's look at those. Here David says, reflecting back, though an host should encamp against me, verse 3, my heart shall not fear. Did you hear that? Look back at verse 2. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though they come against me with the warring host, my heart shall not give in to fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In this, God will prove Himself faithful. So David reflects on past experiences to support his statement in verse 1. He has found it true repeatedly that his enemies were the ones who experienced ultimate defeat, not he. Did you hear that? How many times did it look like David would lose? But who lost? Not David. Not David. Even though it looks like the odds are against you, listen, if you really trust God, God will overcome the odds. He has found it true that his enemies were the ones who experienced ultimate defeat. The verse or the part where it says, to eat up my flesh, is an Aramaic expression meaning to slander. No matter how great the onslaught against him, a host, it says here, David would remain confident in God's care. That's the key. That's the key. I may tremble on the rock. Thank God for the rock of Christ. And there may be times that I don't see or understand how I can remain standing. But there's one thing I am confident of and in, that the rock will not tremble beneath me. I may tremble. But Christ, who is our rock, our salvation, will not tremble. No matter how great the enemy may be, how intense the pressure and the oppression may be, David would remain confident in God's care. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Verse 4 reveals the roots of David's bold faith that you can see here in this Psalm 27 tonight. His one consuming desire was to bask continually in God's presence. If you're not right with God, that does not appeal to you. If you don't keep your heart right with God, that does not appeal to you. But if you are right with God and you keep your heart right with God, and if you can go back to what this truth is really saying, one thing I desire, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may dwell in God's presence. You're talking about confidence. You're talking about God helping you. You're talking about God being real. You are talking about being successful and accomplishing what is right. That's the way you do it. You must have confidence in God. You must have a desire to do the will of the Lord. And your desire must be for His presence. David is confident of the security we have when we place our trust in God. Look at verses 5 and 6. For in the time of trouble, are there any in here tonight that applies to? I think so. Don't have to go into any detail. But there's more than one family. There's more than one in here tonight. You know that you are in a time of trouble, a time of difficulty. There are times we bring it on ourselves. There's also those times that it's brought on us by others. There's also times that I believe Satan brings certain things upon us. After all, he would consume us if he could. He would certainly defeat us if we would. And we would, but for God. So David is confident of the security we have when we place our trust in God. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, and I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, there's times that we find ourselves, maybe because we're so weary, and we're discouraged and we're hurt. And oh, how we wish for the easy way out. There's times we wish, oh, Lord, if I could just wake up tomorrow morning and realize it's all been a dream, bad dream. That would be so good. But you know what? There's circumstances in our lives. It's not a bad dream. It's real. We have to confront it. And we're no match. And there's times we don't know what to do. We don't know how to find our way out. And that's why in those times we must kneel. We must humble our hearts. We must be serious with God. And we must pray and say, Lord, help me. If we're honest, we'll have to say, Lord, help me. I've tried everything. Nothing works. But there's confidence when we really trust God. The outs come of such close fellowship is that our enemies will be brought low. Yet we will stand with heads uplifted, not proud, not arrogant, not defiant, but because God has lifted our heads up. And we are encouraged. And we are in the place now where we can offer sacrifices to God out of appreciation and gratitude. That means I can say, thank you, Lord. Lord, I was so discouraged. Lord, I knew I was going to be defeated. Lord, I knew no way out of it. But now, Lord, you have renewed my strength. Now, oh God, you have proven yourself faithful to me. I am encouraged, and Lord, I am grateful. And Lord, I lift my heart and my voice in praise. Sometimes it's just a thank you, Lord. Sometimes it's a thank you, Lord, with tears. Sometimes you don't say anything at all. You just in your heart respond to Him. He's real. Confidence in the midst of danger, verses 1 through 6. Verses 7 through 12 deal with anxiety or anxiousness. Really, I think we could say an anxious plea for help, verses 7 through 12. You ever get anxious? Children ever make you anxious? When's it ever going to get better? Verses 7 and 8, we find the mood changes in the psalm. Verses 1 through 6, speaking about confidence in the midst of danger, in the midst of the enemy and the host that Satan raises up against us. I don't know. I don't know if David let a little bit of doubt creep in here in this psalm while he was writing it, while he was rejoicing in the first six verses. Doesn't really say, but there is a change in this psalm. Suddenly, the full confidence that he spoke about and that is found in the first six verses is shaken. David seems to have temporarily lost his assurance of being heard and helped. But his faith is not gone. By the way, there's times we are weak of faith, and there's times God has to speak to us and say, where is your faith? There's times that God has to also correct us. Remind us, according to your faith, so be it unto you. That's when we get anxious, when we stop trusting Him, when we stop believing Him, when we stop living our lives the way we should, when we stop guarding our hearts and our lives correctly. David for some reason, his faith now is weak. He knows, though, that God can be called upon. And I want to say that to you tonight. There are times we are weak. But God can be called upon. No matter who you are, where you are, God's grace is sufficient for all of your needs. We can look to God and we can call upon Him. We are reminded in verse 8 of the man who said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Mark 9:24. It would be good for every one of us tonight just to take a few moments and think for ourselves. And think about some times. Think about some things. Think about some experiences. Maybe it was a time when you didn't have the job security, or maybe it was a time when all of a sudden you think maybe you're healthy and everything's going to work out fine, and all of a sudden you wake up one morning and things change. And you're testing. Do you believe God? Can God help me? And we pause for a moment and God begins to speak to our hearts, and God begins to remind us how it used to be and how He helped us there. And how He proved Himself faithful and trustworthy. And how He met your need. How He encouraged your heart. How He provided what it was that you was lacking. And there's even times we can say, "Lord, I know You're going to meet my need." And there's times we look into the future and we are aware and we're confident, yes, God will meet our need. But you know what? We fail today. God's been faithful in the past. And we can relate to Scripture that says, and God will be faithful in the future. But what about today? What about now? What about tonight? Lord, I believe. Bless that man's heart. There was a lot at stake. He was not just saying words. His son was sick. His son was in real need. Daddies can face a lot if it only involves them. And there's times we even pride ourselves in that. Oh, Daddy can take it. But daddies that face things for their children, it's a different story. And mamas too. And how many times, like David, "Lord, would to You it had been me. Lord, let me take it. Lord, let me." And the real test comes, "Lord, can I really believe You to work in not just my life, but my sons, my daughters, my children?" And Satan will come and say, "Oh no, there's no hope." We have to find that place where we cry out, "Lord, Lord, I want to believe. Lord, help me to believe." And what was He saying? "God, I want to, but I can't because of the circumstances, because of my heartache, because of the sorrow. But oh God, I want to. Help me, Lord. Help me to believe You." David's faith grows timid and fearful. Doubts begin to arise in his mind and soul. And perhaps David said, "Lord, what's the use in going on?" Do you ever feel like that? "Lord, what's the use in continuing preaching? Lord, what's the use in remaining faithful? What's the use?" Christ is the reason. And because Christ is faithful. And because Christ is real. So David's faith grows timid, fearful. Doubts begin to arise in his mind. And so, will God hear him when he prays? Will God hear you when you pray? He pleads that God will not look away from him. Perhaps David's scarlet sin with Bathsheba had returned to haunt him. Let's be honest, Satan doesn't play fair. Don't think he won't try to dig up your past. Don't think he won't try to take advantage of weaknesses and areas that you failed in the past. But you don't have to fail. You don't have to go back there. Satan is a master at dangling our past sins before our faces. This is what you used to be. And there's times you'll say, and you're still that way. But if you're saved, and if you know God, you can say, no, bless God, I'm not that way. I know what God's done for me. I know it's real. I know there's a victory in my heart, in my life. No! I remember reading years ago, I believe it was Martin Luther. There was a lot he didn't understand. But I do know that God was speaking to Martin Luther's heart, and God did use him as an instrument to help many, many eyes be open to Catholicism and its false teaching. And I remember reading that there was a time that Martin Luther said that Satan was so real. He was in his study and he picked up his inkwell and he threw it at him. That's how real the foe was. I'm not saying he saw him, but he was aware of his presence. So Satan is a master at dangling our past sins before our faces. Sins that have already been confessed to God and confessed, repented of, forsaken, forgiven by God. Because of the frustrations his enemies have caused within his own mind and soul, perhaps David feels that he cannot trust his own wisdom for guidance, nor insure himself against the shrewdness and the deception of his enemies. Boy, how true that is. When I start going it on my own, when I feel like I have finally arrived and I have finally been able to accomplish this and I've gained the victory, I best be careful. God knows how to bring us back to reality. Bring us back to the place that we realize we overcome by trusting the overcomer. We are not the overcomer, but He is. Because of these frustrations, His enemies have caused within His own mind and soul, He can't trust Himself for wisdom or guidance. He cannot put confidence in himself. And it's at that point he realizes, but I can trust God. He is my hope and stay. The plain path mentioned here, he seeks and longs for, can be provided only by God. Can't be provided by the preacher or the church, our friends, our family, only by God. He must be shown clearly God's way, the pathway of righteousness. Then he will go forward with confidence. There's a time, I guess it'll use an old football term, there's a time we have to just stop. Maybe back up and punt. We realize we're not making any headway. We have to stop. We have to humble ourselves. We have to pray. We have to admit, God, I've met my match. I'm no match to Satan. I'm no match to his temptations. I'm no match to what this world holds. God, I need you. Strengthen me. Help me. I need your pathway of righteousness. Then I can go in confidence. The last two verses. The reassurance. This psalm really is so much like us. One day we are all upbeat and encouraged, confident. If we're not careful, something will happen. Something will come quickly. It's almost like someone slaps us. And we're struggling with defeat, disappointment, discouragement. But you can't keep a Christian down. You can beat us up. You may think you have the upper hand, but you can't keep a Christian down who really loves God. Who really trusts Him. He may look defeated, but he's not in his heart. The physical appearance may say that, but in his heart, he may be defeated physically and mentally and emotionally. But in his heart, there's still that hope. There's still that will. There's still that quiet confidence. You know why? Because God is his helper. And he's never turned his back. Look at verse 13 and 14. I've fainted. What's he saying? I was so weak I couldn't go on. I was ready to give up. I fainted. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Not in the land of the dead. No, but in the land of the living. There's that hope. There's that joy being restored. The last two verses contain the kind of time where God takes us back and reminds us of all He's done, and all He's taught us, and all He's helped us with, and all that He's brought us through. And we begin to reminisce. So this is a kind of reminiscence of the first part of the psalm. David said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Verse 13. What are some causes of fainting? I bet every one of us could make our own list tonight. Sometimes it's a bad atmosphere. You can be around the wrong kinds or the wrong people. The wrong atmosphere. We often take on the spiritual coloring of those about us. Beware, young people. Know your friends. Beware of Satan's tactics and strategy, the traps. There's also the fear of cost. Many times we are anxious and we're ready to serve the Lord, but all of a sudden we start trying to serve Him and it begins to cost us. It costs our friends. It cost us our plans, cost us all the things that we had set our hearts on. We begin to look at the cost and we say, that's too high a cost. I'm not willing to go there. Real Christians will. They pay the cost. That's why Paul said, I'm not only willing to spend, but I'm willing to be spent. David was at that place too in his life. He no longer gloried in his flesh or his abilities as a military leader, as a decision maker, able to lead others in the kingdom. But he's learned his real confidence and his real help comes from God. Many Christians are not in the fight today because they're afraid of a little bloodletting. It's too costly. I'll be misunderstood. Let them misunderstand. It's better that you be misunderstood by men and not by God. Weakness lack of food, not consistently nourished by the Word, can cause it. Let's be honest about how often we really study and read God's Word and really pray. Think about it. Chastisement. When chastisement comes, we have to be reassured. Think about old David when he sent God's servant to him. God's servant said, David, you're wrong. And God smote David's heart. And he cried. And you know what resulted from God smoting his heart? God revealing to him his heart. Yeah, he got his heart right. But go read Psalm 51. Chastisement. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Hebrews 12:5. Wait on the Lord, it closes out verse 14. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Here, wait on the Lord reminds us of the way in which God addressed Joshua. Joshua had to feel the shoes of Moses. He didn't feel worthy of that charge. God said, be of good courage. And it was also there that God promised Joshua that he would fulfill the promises he made to Moses and the covenants he'd made with his people. Joshua never lived long enough to see those promises fulfilled. Be of good courage. The blessings come later. You going through a lot tonight? God says, take courage. You may not see the blessing tonight. You may not see God's hand delivering that precious one, the one that you love and the one that you're burdened for, the one that you're concerned about. God can be trusted. You may not be where you really should be. And you know that. Are you going to stop? David said, wait on the Lord. The blessing will come. God does not always answer His people instantly. Sometimes the waiting is a spiritual therapy needed to strengthen our faith. Wait on the Lord. The blessing will come. Let's pray. Lord, we need that tonight. We are a needy people. We are no match for the world, and we're no match for our foe. Lord, there's times we seem like we have gone as far as we can go. We are to take courage. God is still on our side. God has promised that if we would fulfill His will, and if we would set our affections on Him, if we would desire His presence, and desire, O God, to live in His presence and remain there, every promise, like the little song says, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And oh God, when we see our loved ones in difficulty, and we cry out, because, Lord, there's nothing we can do. But, Lord, there is. We can reaffirm our faith and our confidence in God. And, oh God, we can put them in Your hands, in Your care. And, oh Lord, I pray, raise up the downtrodden, those, Lord, that have fallen away. They've known so much truth, and they've erred, gone their own way, Lord. Lord, speak. This should be our response. Speak, Lord. Your servant listens. And oh God, renew our strength and our fighting spirit. Renew our faith. And oh God, enlarge our borders. Lord, help us to reach out to the needy. Because, oh God, we have been the needy, and sometimes we're still the needy. We ask You, oh Lord, undergird us and help us. Teach us to walk by faith, not by sight. Keep our minds stayed upon You. Don't look at the waves or the circumstances. God specializes in things thought impossible. Enough that God, my Father, knows nothing. This faith should dim. Lord Jesus, it is enough that You know. And oh God, make our faith real. In your name we pray.